Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey you, yeah you, click the subscribe button. You're listening to the Ill-Advised Wise Guys podcast, starring Uche and Cute Easy.
So we are back with our Ill-Advised Wise Guys presents Who Got Next segment, and we got a special guest. He's a friend of the show. He's part of the Wise Gang. He's part of our fucking reinforcement when Trippy Red fans are fucking annoying us online. He also goes by another guy that was in Futurama, but hey, I think he might be the official, the first one. Uncle Bender, welcome to the show, man. What's good?
Everything. I'm so happy to be back on here. I fucking love y'all. So I seen y'all posting a clip from our last video on Instagram. So I've been meaning to get back on here. We talked about this shit like a month ago or something, but
yep.
I'm glad I'm finally able to come back on and talk to y'all.
Yeah, man.
We love you too, man.
I feel like it was fate. I put that Throwback Thursday shit because we've been doing that recently, just trying to like get people to flash back into what we've been doing for a while now. And you, I didn't realize you came on the show a year ago.
Really?
It was a year ago.
I remember. I was in the car with my ex-girlfriend driving to my granddad's house, and we talked about like avocados in San Francisco and stuff. That was fun.
No, we talked about LA.
LA, and avocado toast.
Yeah, you weren't feeling the avocado toast. So that's my first question. Have you changed your fucking tune to avocado toast?
Yes, 100% yes, bro. I used to think that was the most disgusting shit, but so last New Year's, I was at my homie, my Mexican homie, Jesse. We went to his mom's house before we went to Athens, like the University of Georgia, to go party on New Year's. And she made us carne asada. And what they do is they just get the avocado and they cut it up and put that shit on top of the meat, bro. And I was like, you know what? Like, they probably know it's good. So I put some avocado on top of my shit, a little bit of salt, a little bit of lime, bro. It changed my life forever. I'm a new man.
Hey. Look at
the growth. You can do a lot in a year, huh?
Yeah, man. Like, look at how much a year has changed. Like, you know, and then on top of that, like, a year ago, there was no coronavirus.
Oh, my God.
No, you know, just craziness going on. There was no killer bees. Like,
okay, I've still yet to see a fucking killer bee, so I'm calling cap on that one.
Hey, they're called murder bees, all right?
No, murder hornets.
Murder hornets. Get the name right, all right?
I've been ducking them. And you know, the funny thing is, every time I go to my backyard, I just assume every bee is like a killer bee now. I'm just like, yo, wait, that joint looks a little big. Because they're huge.
Yeah.
From what I heard, they're huge. But I hear that other stuff can kick its ass. Like, I think a centipede can kick its ass or something like that. So, you know, if you got centipedes in your backyard, don't worry about it.
You said...
I heard
centipede, bro.
You said centipede. What the fuck are you talking about right now?
Like all them other bugs in your backyard wants to smoke with a murder hornet. Just to let you guys know, so don't be scared of it.
I got you. Hey, before we get started, man. What you smoking on, man? I see some thick clouds over there. What was that?
What you talking about? This Khalifa Kush.
I'm just trying to make. Is cigarettes. It
the? It's tobacco.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like. I thought it was like the Uncle Bender edition of you know, some OG shit. I don't know, man. I'm just throwing shit out there.
No, it's tobacco. It's just from my water pipe.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah. That's completely legal and nothing wrong with that, bro.
Do you know what this means?
Huh?
Know what this means?
Me?
Tobacco, Ooch. It's tobacco.
Yeah, tobacco, man. You know, smoke a little shisha, smoke a little hookah. You know what I'm saying?
You know what my homie told me? He worked at there's a place called Siva's down here, and it's like a little chain hookah lounge. And my homie worked there. He told me that if you put a shot of vodka mixed with water instead of water in the bottom of a hookah, bro, he'll say that shit'll send you to the fucking moon. Like, that shit'll get you fucked up.
Really? I never heard that.
I believe it.
He also told me to put milk in there, so I don't really know if I'm gonna try it, but
all right, yeah, he's wilding. Your homie is on some other shit. I've heard people say put like a Monster energy drink in there and
You
might
they
like
say Coke.
Throw up.
You put soda. Man, honestly, put soda in that bitch.
Nah, I'm not doing that, man.
Me neither.
I think I'm gonna stick to some water, man.
Like, I'm gonna stick to my tobacco.
Yeah, man. Hey, well, Uncle Bender. Oh, go ahead, Q. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, I mean, you know, when you are drinking and smoking hookah, like that feeling is unbelievable.
Bro, it's like you're Superman. Yes.
Yo,
yes, sir.
There's been times my knees literally got weak on me. Like I try to get up to go to the bathroom and I'm like, yo, bro.
Yeah.
Facts.
That shit happened to me in the middle of a fucking hookah lounge. It was like they had this shit where like you sit on the floor on the cushions. Ooh. And the table was real low to the ground. It was a vibe. That shit was fire.
Ooh, you been to one of those? Yeah, oh yeah.
The problem with that is that increases your distance from sitting to fully standing. So you rip that bitch one time, stand up, your eyes roll in the back of your head, and you feel like you're about to fall out in the middle.
Yep.
Yeah, I did that one time when I was out in Arizona for like a work trip. This is random as shit. Out in Phoenix, and I went to a hookah lounge out there, and I was by myself. But I was like, you know what, man? I feel like smoking some hookah. Fuck it. Went to one of those, and I'm sitting on the. I found myself sitting on the floor, Indian style.
Yeah.
Right. I didn't even know my fucking knees could bend like this. So I'm like this on the fucking floor. Smoking the hookah, feeling like I'm about to roll over and like go to sleep for the night. I'm like, nah, I gotta get back to my hotel, man. This is crazy. What the fuck am I smoking?
By your lonely, like you were dolo by yourself.
I was by myself, but I mean, there was people in the lounge, you know.
I'm saying, but like you walked in there, that's picturing that just sounds funny. Like you walking in by yourself, going to sit on the ground.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I get you. It sounds crazy, but yeah, that's what happens when you're bored on a work trip and you're by
yourself.
You find yourself in random ass situations.
Yep. Because you don't know shit about where you're at. So
super random, man. Hey, but let's jump into this, man. Because like I said, you came on the show like, actually I said a year. It might have been over a year ago. I think you were on the show like sometime in June, if I'm not mistaken. But
It was, yeah, it was definitely over the summer. Give me 1 second. I'm going to get my lighting better.
Nah, it's cool, man. So with that being said, what's new, man? What's new?
Okay.
What you been up to, man?
Basically, I got a song coming out on Friday. It's called Blue Pill. And I got a song and a video for that dropping. So recently, like last weekend, we did the video shoot. I drove back to the city for like 12 hours and we just grinded that shit out. I got the song master, got the cover art handle for that. And then I'm actually going to release merchandise with it, which is actually, let me give you a little sneak peek.
Okay.
So this can't see that for shit, huh? There we go.
Blue pill.
Yep. So yeah, just some simple stuff just to kind of get the merch rolling, because I've always wanted to fucking sink my teeth into that realm. I got my homie in I'm actually taking a trip to Nashville on the 29th because he got the samples ordered to his spot, and we're gonna do a photo shoot for that. I'm gonna do a merch giveaway on the day that the song drops, so that'd be cool too. But other than that, I've just been making music every day, just trying to stockpile while I have enough free time. That was some of the best advice I ever got, was make the shit now while I still got the ideas and the time to have ideas, and I'm still experiencing life to where I can have meaningful subject matter, so later down the road I can just pick out of that bag and worry about the back end.
I was going to say, this is like the best time as an artist, I feel, because with coronavirus, you got a lot of time in the house, I'm assuming.
100%. I feel like everything's paused, right? There's no shows, there's no face-to-face interaction anymore. So the game, the music industry in itself hasn't stopped, but a certain aspect has definitely halted or paused for the moment. So I'm definitely taking advantage of that to get a leg up, just working as hard as I can while everybody else is using this as an excuse to fucking watch Netflix and fuck off.
Thanks. I feel like that's smart, man, because I feel like when the whole pandemic started, everybody was using that shit as an excuse to kind of nod off and basically, like you said, watch Netflix. But then, if you're somebody who's a go-getter, somebody who's a fucking creative, at a certain point, you're like, you know what, man? I got to actually create through this shit, right? And then you just start figuring out ways to do it, right? For us, we started doing Zoom videos, right? And before the pandemic, we were not doing video at all. And it just made sense. Hugh and I, we had been talking about this shit for months. All right, we got to get into video. We got to get into video. Then the pandemic hit, and we're like, fuck it, let's just do Zoom. Let's just do that and see how that goes. And we've been doing it since, there's struggles here and there with the technology, getting used to it. You got to figure out the flow, because the vibe is different, 100%. It's not the same with me and him in the same room versus on the fucking computer screen, looking at each other, arguing and shit, or agreeing, whatever the fuck we're doing. But yeah, man, you got to create through it, man. So, hey, walk me through,
go ahead. What makes it awesome hope is that everybody's in this position.
Yeah.
From Drake to your person that's in the come up. For us, everybody is doing Zoom videos. Doesn't matter who you are.
It leveled the playing field. It's normal. Everything's normal.
Joe Rogan is doing goddamn
Joe Rogan's doing exactly. Everybody is doing, this is an opportunity for you to be doing what everybody else on this planet is doing, and it doesn't matter what level you are in,
because I never thought of it like that, but it's really because nobody's been regardless of who you are, you haven't been through the coronavirus pandemic, bro.
Exactly.
Yes, sir. Exactly.
And to add on to that, I've seen even the richest people have their videos cut off. Richest people be having Wi-Fi problems. I'm like, yo, I feel like actually the richest people have the most Wi-Fi problems.
Bro, I'm going to tell you right now, the shit that got me and when I knew shit was real was I was watching the Nelly and Ludacris versus battle, right? This is months ago. And Nelly was having Wi-Fi issues. And I'm like, bro, this is the same motherfucker that went diamond. How many times? Did he not go diamond with Country Grammar? That shit sold over 10 million. How the fuck can he not get his Wi-Fi straight? And us, when we having technology issues, we feel bad. Oh man, we fucking up, man. Oh damn. But yet you got Nelly and you got all these other people fucking up. So again, you kind of feel like you said, the level field is play is
it's just level.
I'm sorry, the playing field is level and it's just regular. It's a part of what's going on now. So
it's just level as it been. I will say this though, down south, yeah, you got tripping a little bit.
What you mean?
They wilding.
Y'all tripping. I've seen beaches crowded. Woo! I've seen concerts going, football games. They got college football games playing in big crowds Over here, we are concerned. We barely even stepping outside to go get the mail.
Bro, Atlanta was the first, one of the first cities to fully open back up.
Hey, Camp Wildin', bro. yeah, it's okay. So let me tell you, I want to walk you through like what my life was like this summer, right? So starts off, I come home from school early as fuck. I'm staying with my family for like 9 months or some shit, something crazy. It felt like 9 months, I don't know. But so like it started like, so the rioting, right? Me and my homie, like, I was staying in the house, like, in Atlanta, like, during the first part of it, first, like, month or two, I really just stayed at the house and didn't do anything. And then when, fuck it. One night, my homie hit me up because he was running DoorDash, like, around my neighborhood. And he was like, yo, let's skate. So we go to skate. I'm like, I know this Target that we can go skate at. And we get in the car. We drive to Target. And we pull through the Target parking lot. We see like hella people like crowded at the door, but this Target's like closed. It's like 10:30, 11 o'clock. Hella people are over at the door and I'm like kind of confused. I don't know what's going on. And then we pull up and he's like, the door, like we see the people like fucking with the door. And I'm like, oh shit. Like this Target's about to get like fucking like looted. So we drive across the street to the dump, like the furniture store, park the car, and we were trying to get footage that night for like art house shit, just to, cause like, regardless of how stupid it was for us to be there or out there that night, the fact of the matter is that this is never going to happen again. And if we have like the ability to go and like at least document some of that shit, like, I feel like why not? Like, this is history, like in the making, bro. Like, I don't know. I just felt like if I wasn't there, then like I just would have been like missing like something huge. So whatever. So after we had that conversation that I just had with y'all, we're like, fuck it. We get on our skateboards and we skate over to Target. By this time, we skate up to the door and that shit has been busted down. Like it's like the sliding doors. So it's like they busted the glass through and like people were coming in and out kind of. And then someone yelled for the cops. We went back to the dump, skated back later. And fucking, we got on our skateboards and he looks at me, my homie Emil, he's the, one of the three owners of Art House, Kicks. He looks at me and he's like, "You going in?" And I was like, "Oh, I don't know. Are we going in?" And he was like, "Bro, we're already here. Like, let's just skate. Like, let's just skate through Target and like nothing else." And I was like, fuck it, bro. Like, whatever. So we jump. I have a video on my phone. I could text it to one of y'all. I just don't want to incriminate myself. So
that's what I was
going to say. Yo, I was about, hey, I'm glad you ended with that. Cause the thing I was thinking about the whole time you was talking was, first off, you're right, man. This shit has been a historic ass moment. Cause I was out there protesting as well. Out in DC. Like I wanted to be in the mix. I wanted to be part of the moment that it was. But at the same time, hey, what's the statute of limitation on vandalism? Because this video will be public. Are you sure you want this out, bro? Are you sure?
I mean, it comes down to it. We didn't vandalize anything. The door was...
I'm fucking with you, man. You weren't...
They could get trespassing, which is like what I've done. But we literally jumped through the door, skated down this fucking aisle.
Yeah.
We got it on video. It's a fire-ass video because you hear like the silent alarm in the back. It's like... Ding, ding, ding. And like it's fucking like a wasteland, bro. There's like whatever.
That's crazy.
We turn around, crazy. And then we go back to the parking lot. And now we get back in the car. We go to the Buckhead Shops, which is where the like really like bougie shit is. Like the Hermes store, like that's where Burberry's at. And like the Dior store and shit. So we park our car, we skate, we run into these like this like biker gang, like with the crotch rockets and shit. And they were filming like, cause like, bro, that whole night it was like street racing, fucking motorcycles. Like it was dead ass. Like it felt like GTA. I swear to God, fucking, they're filming like a motorcycle documentary. So we're like filming with them. Fucking, we skate, we get to the shops, and then we're going up into the shops, right? Walking up the street, and then we see this like group of just like regular looking people, like sipping like cocktails and shit, like walking. And they're like, hey, y'all might not want to go that way. And I'm like, why? And they're like, oh, you just don't want to. And I was like, what happened? And they're like, yeah, they're shooting. And I was like, oh, fuck. So we dipped because I didn't hear it. They said that people were busting down all the glass windows to the shops, right? And then they said that the cops, like, said on the intercom, like, if y'all rush the Hermes store, like which was the next store they were planning to hit, like, we're going to open fire. And then so they busted the door, and they just started firing. So then we skate away, and as we're skating away, bro, I swear, like, it doesn't sound like a pistol or, like, it doesn't sound like a Glock. It was, like, doo, 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 like, fucking, like, big rounds, like, coming, like, after, like rapidly one after another, like. It sounded like it was fucking like insane, bro. Like, it was so surreal. We fucking went the fuck home after that shit.
Yo, were they shooting rubber bullets or real bullets?
There were armed protesters.
Oh, the protest. I got you.
Not protesters. Let me not say protesters. Looters. Protest is way different.
I see what you're saying. I thought you were talking about like police was opening fire. You talking
well,
about
no,
like
yeah, the police were gonna open fire on them for looting, and then we heard some non-police guns, right? Like, whatever. And then we heard from whoever that, like, people were shooting at cops and shit, like, that night. Like,
that's crazy.
I'm pretty sure, like, they burnt, like, they destroyed 26 cop cars in Atlanta that night. Like, it was, like, one of them got burned in front of, you ever see the videos of the CNN Center? Like, when they, like, the white guy,
yeah, I saw
guy
that.
On top holding.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. They like it was all downtown. Like, I'm pretty sure a couple cops died, a couple people I think died. I'm not trying to like I'm just going from what I heard. It might not, nobody may have died that night, but I just, regardless, you're still hearing that shit from everybody, and it's like, it's crazy. It just, it literally felt like Grand Theft Auto that night.
I was gonna say, you probably would have thought the world ended, or no, was about to end. You seeing fire, gunshots.
Yeah,
that's insane.
It really is.
I feel like it's something that you would never know unless you were actually in it. Like,
and let me,
on the TV and all that stuff, you don't be.
Exactly. Like, why the fuck would I want to watch it on TV? But I also want to say something else, right? That night, bro, it felt like the 4th of July. Like, we go back to the dump parking lot, like, on the way back to the crib. There was, that's over by, like, Lindbergh, and there's, like, a lot of apartments where a lot of, like, the Hispanic people will stay. So it was just like hella people with like the fucking like with the lifted like Chevys and shit, doing donuts in the parking lot, lighting fireworks off, like they were going dumb, like people were selling fucking like candy and shit. And then, you know, we heard more like gunfire, so we left after there. But
that's crazy, man.
Everyone did kind of come together though, like in the city of Atlanta, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, amongst right there. You say that again?
That was a kumbaya moment right there.
It really was, like, you know, amongst all the fucking destruction and shit like that, man. Hey, it's been a crazy ass fucking year, man. Like, no matter how you look at it, 2020 is gonna go down, and like, we're gonna remember this shit forever. Until we get up out of here on this planet, we're gonna remember this year,
yeah.
And whether good or bad, you know. And so I want to talk about that a little bit with you, man. Like, so earlier you were talking about the new music you're dropping. You're talking about, like, you know what I'm saying, the stuff that was happening in the city of Atlanta. You know, when the whole protest was like really a thing, and it's hopefully, I think it's still a thing in certain cities, but it chilled out a little bit. But like, what would you say is the biggest thing that you learned this year in 2020 since, like, everything's been happening with you?
Biggest thing I learned?
Yeah, man. It can be about yourself, about the world.
Honestly,
whatever you want, man.
I would have to say the biggest thing that I have seen, like, I realized, is that we as like a whole entire, like an entire country, need to do a better, like we need to stop pitting each other. Like everybody needs to stop fucking banging heads all the fucking time, right? Cause I was like George Washington or some shit who like argued against like the two-party system because like factions and like just exactly what's happening right now, where nobody wants to talk to anybody because everybody has demonized the opposition. Like, it's gotten to the point where somebody who believes one thing will refuse to, like, even like engage in a conversation. Like, people won't be friends with people who don't think the same way as them. And that's really fucking shit up. Because if you if you don't surround yourself with people who have different experiences and different ideas, then you're never going to really be able to understand where other people are coming from. And fucking, we're just going to keep doing this shit. So really just, like, I see so much potential for that shit, because I think in the end, everybody wants the same things. It's just, we have different ideas about the means in which we think that's achievable. Yeah. And it's just like, cause nobody, like, at the end of the day, bro, no one wants innocent people to die. Okay. No, most, the average person does not want innocent people to die, right? The average person does not want fucking people to starve. Like, the average person doesn't want people to be kicked out of their homes and see neighborhoods like destroyed and stuff like that, right? But we've gotten so, everyone is so cemented in their own beliefs that anything that isn't like directly within that is seen as like an attack on their identity, because people are like building their person, like people are trying to fuse their like beliefs and ideologies with their who they are as a human being. And like, obviously to an extent it's going to float over, but if you kind of have to distance yourself from a lot from things like that, like on an emotional level, so that you can have these productive like relationships and conversations and learn, and we can actually get fucking go somewhere instead of just sitting here at a standstill like a bunch of dickheads.
Yeah, I like that, man. That's Yeah, man, that's a great perspective you got, man. So,
but on a lighter note, I've also I've seen people be like, we've seen some of the most like creative and like resourceful shit come out of this, because I don't want to. The first example that comes to my mind is 6ix9ine shooting the video in his house, and obviously like fuck 6ix9ine, but like, you know, you got an entire like high quality production music videos being filmed indoors. Like, people are pushing boundaries, and people are like, y'all, like the Zoom shit, right? Like what we talked about earlier, like things are, you're really starting to see the innovation and how creative people really are. And I think that that's something that we have kind of missed for a while as like a whole. So that's pretty sick.
Real shit.
You look at just kind of how like television shows, like for instance, America's Got Talent. I don't know if you guys watch that show, but I've seen a couple episodes and they don't have an audience no more. So they got now like the people watching it on whatever, and they got the audience in the background and like TV screens. And then they got people performing from their home. Like, they had to think of this on the fly. Like, nobody could predict that it was going to be this bad. So like, to save the quality of their TV show, they had to like quickly think up stuff.
And exactly.
The good thing about the good takeaway is some of this stuff is going to be used moving forward. Like, people,
sir,
the things that we learned, some of the adjustments that we were able to make will be used moving forward. Like, I do think that masks are not that, you know, once this thing is over, people are going to be wearing a mask a lot, but.
But like, when you're sick.
I do see people when they're sick.
Yeah, exactly.
Because fucking, they, like, in like Japan, they've been doing that shit forever, bro. Like,
bro,
if you're sick, you wear a fucking mask.
They've been doing that shit, man. And I always thought it was crazy because, like, I remember when I went to Thailand a couple years ago, and I'm in the airport before we actually leave before we step foot in Thailand. I'm in the airport, and I'm like, oh, no, sorry. Before we even got to Thailand, we went to China. We went to Beijing. We're in the fucking Chinese Beijing airport. And I'm like, yo, why the fuck does everyone have a fucking mask on? Everybody. This is 2 years ago. And I'm thinking to myself, what the fuck do they know that I don't know? Like, should I go grab me a mask? Like, should I start asking more questions? What the fuck is going on?
No, that's the mentality we got as human beings, right? When one person starts running, everybody just starts running. They don't even know why they're running.
Bro, that's how it is. Exactly, right? So
why you got a mask on? Oh, shoot, I'm about to put a mask on. Forget that.
Word. And so, but what I realized while I was there was that they're used to pandemics happening. Like, pandemics happening in China and in Asia in general, that shit happens so often that wearing a mask just became part of their culture. Like, all throughout many countries within Asia, like you said, Japan, Korea, it don't matter, man. But Thailand, the whole nine yards. But yeah, that's crazy though that we've gotten here, man. But I wanna switch things up, man. On a lighter note, I wanna switch things up.
We're probably used to us always having sweaters, right? Like, we're like, it can get cold out of nowhere, you know what I'm
saying? Yeah. You're gonna start bringing a mask wherever you go. You're gonna start bringing a sweater wherever you go. You're gonna start bringing hand sanitizer wherever you go.
Yep.
You're gonna start bringing weed everywhere you go if you're a smoker.
Texas, Arizona, I always pack a sweater. I'm like, yo, you never been. Hey,
it gets cold at night for no fucking reason.
No fucking reason, but you gotta be prepared, right? Hey, you never know what could happen.
Not in Georgia, bro. It's hot during the fucking day, and then it's hot and also humid at night, and then the mosquitoes, and it's horrible. It's not
fun. Sheesh. Nah, that's crazy.
It's 69 degrees outside today, or like 75 or some shit, so I got my...
Can't deal with that shit, man. I ain't gonna lie. I can't deal with it.
The humidity is not fun.
Oh, man. Especially now. It's like, yo, is there a seat? Like, do y'all got seasons, like, from summer to fall? Is it...
Yeah. So... Usually it's like slick hot until like Halloween, but like today and like it, like we're hitting a cold front or something. Cause right now it's like fucking 72. So like that's been different. Cause it was fucking hot this summer.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh man. It was crazy.
It was hot too.
Like, can't even go to, I would go like to the skate park and skate for 30 minutes and feel like I was going to pass out.
Yeah, because of how humid it is. I mean, I think we all got hit with like a heat rush this year because it was like 100 degrees at some days, and it rarely gets 100 degrees over here.
There was too much tension in the air. I'm telling you, it made it hotter.
Hey, it made everybody's blood boil. Hey, man, exactly. What you want to plug, man? What do you got? I know you got the single dropping. You said this Friday.
Yeah.
What's the date? Because I don't know when people are gonna hear this, but
The 25th. Blue Pill is dropping on the 25th.
So is that a play on like the Matrix? Like Blue Pill, Red Pill?
Oh my god, I thought you were gonna say Viagra, and I was about to say no. Yes.
Oh, you gotta chill. You gotta chill, man. Viagra. Yo, everybody... well, Viagra. Who takes Viagra anymore? Isn't it Cialis?
Yes. people text me like, bro, is this like a penis joke? And I'm like, well, like if you want it to be, sure, but. Like, not really.
So Matrix is the... Because first thing I thought of was the Matrix. I mean, that was just me, though.
Yeah, it's... I don't know. Actually, I would love to send y'all that song. But the... So the lyrics go, if ignorance is bliss, why I'm so stressed? Passed a couple red flags on my way to your address. But I was thinking with my dick, I must confess. Tried to drive around your mind on my way into your dress. So, like... The song, I mean, that little pre-chorus right there kind of sums up the a majority of like the imagery I was trying to use with like, it's true. It's about a she's not gonna watch this. It's about a girl that was like a little bit
thirsty.
No.
Hey, she might watch this, man. Or might not. You know,
she blocked me on Instagram. So
okay. Oh yeah, she's not gonna watch
it. Nothing to worry about.
she might get like a recommended on YouTube if she's on it. You know, she might see Uncle Bender's name. Oh, what's this? Click.
Whatever.
Just hear her name. You know, fuck.
I'm not like
fuck
talking bad about her. It's just like she was going, she just had some shit going on like mentally that like it didn't really show itself until like the end, but I don't want to talk about that because that's like not my business to talk about. Anyways, it's just, you know, this, she was like super bad and like I liked hanging out with her, but then there was always like those red flags that you would see, but you just ignore them. You take the blue pill, you choose ignorance. In an attempt to find, and you do that in an attempt because you're like, oh, I'll just ignore that and I'll be happy because I can ignore this shit. But in reality, you know, it always comes back to haunt you. So, you know, if ignorance is bliss, why I'm so stressed? Because I'm still having the same amount of stress that I would have had if I didn't ignore it. But just.
I like that. I like it, man. Listen, I'm a fan of anybody who is a fan of The Matrix. Real talk. Oh. That's one of the most underrated movie series ever fucking made. Like, I'm talking about, fuck the action. I'm talking about, like, the messaging. The actual, like, psychology in the movie. It's fucking crazy. It's crazy.
Super crazy. And, bro, like, I'm a fan of, like, things that are visually, like, appealing. I guess most people are. But, like, I really like films that, like, have kind of, like, a continuity throughout the whole film of, like, you know, whether it be the characters' clothing or the filters that they have on the lens or whatever. And Matrix does that so well. Because, like, even mm-hmm. when it's, like, you have the scene, like, he's coming out of the vat of, like, that shit and pulling the stuff out of his body or, like, that nightclub scene. Like, those are two really different scenes in the original Matrix. But if you showed me those two different scenes and there were none of the same characters, I could tell you it was the same movie.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
Like, visually, they did a fantastic job visually. I feel
super
like
good.
A lot of yeah. movies, it's rare. There's only a few movies that are like that.
Like how many memes come from The Matrix, bro?
Bro, too many.
I was going to say, like, Tenet, right? Tenet is a movie that just came out. I feel like Tenet is another one that's visually, like, pleasing to look at.
I haven't had a chance to... Oh, okay. Me neither.
Yeah, I haven't watched it.
I haven't seen it, but I can just tell based off of, you know, the commercial. Like, you can yeah. tell there's a certain way the visuals look.
Right.
It's all consistent. It looks appealing, you know.
That's what I try to do with the music videos too. Like, I like to give it just like, it's like, I don't know if y'all like make music or anything. I'm assuming maybe, but yeah, bet.
Well, I used to. Shit.
Well, you know, it's like, so like mixing, like you mix a track and like you write everything, but then it's like when you send a song off to get mastered, like, and it comes back, it always sounds better. But you can't put your finger on why it sounds better.
Yes, sir.
And so, like, a lot of people do with video music videos is, like, they just put the video out and, like, it's been mixed, but it hasn't been mastered.
Right. But you know what, though? I don't know about you, and I don't really hear this in your music, at least the songs that I have heard, but, like, there's a real big movement of lo-fi music. I don't know if you're into that or not, but... Yeah. But, like, that's a thing now where people are just putting out shit that's kind of mixed, but it's not really mastered. It's, like, it sounds very rough, if you get what I'm saying.
But in
I feel like XXXTentacion was, like, one of the pioneers of that shit, like, in the most recent history.
I think, yes, but also I think that a lot of the lo-fi shit is, if anything, more... like there's been more time put into it because they have to make it sound intentionally like off-putting. Like they have to put that snare like slightly earlier, slightly behind, like the perfect amount to where it sounds fucked up, but like good fucked up. Like Earl Sweatshirt does I don't know who makes his beats, but like Earl Sweatshirt's beats and his production, bro, it's like the most perfect mess you ever fucking heard. Like even on the new album.
Yo, hey, that's a great way to put it.
That is 100%.
Hey, but the thing is though, you can't be mad at anybody for saying it's mess. If you're acknowledging that it's a perfect mess. You know what I'm saying? Like but somebody said Earl Sweatshirt is music is trash. If you're a fan, you should be able to understand why they're saying that. You should.
You understand the reason they're saying that is because they're dumb. Because musically, like, y'all appreciate music, right? Like, y'all fucking, like, I live and breathe this shit, like, and I'm sure y'all feel the same way about it. And it's, like, when you have that, like, fixation, you read deeper into it. You read way deeper than the people that are listening to the radio. So when someone who listens to the radio listens to Earl Sweatshirt's new album and it sounds like like disgusting to them. Like, I can't put it past them because they're like, their brain just isn't wired the way that like someone who like, I feel like anyone who appreciates good music will appreciate good music regardless of what they like it or not.
Yeah, I want to make myself clear though. So when I say like you understand why they're saying it, I'm not saying you agree with them. I can understand why somebody said something, but I don't have to agree. I could be
exactly.
like, So yeah, I don't agree. I'm saying, but I understand why somebody would think that it's trash.
Well, you know, I'm saying this.
I got you.
I'm definitely somebody that thinks it's trash.
I'm not a fan of Earl Sweatshirt. Period. Me personally.
Here's the thing, though. I think he purposely makes it sound like that. So I wouldn't say that he's a bad artist. Like, to me, he is like a top-notch artist. But the music he makes is trash. But I think he purposely makes it sound like that.
And that's why I brought up XXXTentacion, because you're not about no one. I don't know about y'all. No one can tell me personally that he is not a, well, he was not, because you know he's obviously passed, RIP, but like he was not a intentional musician with his shit. Like when he put out music, that shit had layers to it. So when he's putting out the shit that was lo-fi, yeah, you're right, Uncle Bennett. Like the shit was like intentionally done that way to sound trash. But you can't really say his music is trash. You know what I'm saying?
I think his music's always been good. I think in the earlier days, the reason his music sounded like that was probably because of production value, because he's recording a ski mask like in a bedroom. Like this music was there, they just didn't have the skills to master. So that's I guess that's the opposite end of what we were talking about before, like where the talent's like there, but you just don't have that push. So it's just accidentally lo-fi, maybe.
I just heard a new song. Hey Q, right before you go, I just heard a new song by Rico Nasty. Shout out to her, man. She's a one of these artists from the DMV that's like signed, but like really trying
Rico
to like,
Nasty goes crazy, bro.
Yeah, she's fucking dope, man. I just heard a new song from her, and the shit is called iPhone. And it just dropped yesterday, and I'm like, bro, that shit sounds like the most distorted, like low quality, intentionally fire song I've heard in a minute.
She probably recorded it on her iPhone.
Here's the thing, though. Like, the thing is this, though.
There you go.
XXXTentacion, let's be real. The difference between Earl Sweatshirt and XXXTentacion, Earl Sweatshirt, as trash as his music was sounded, if you listen to the bars he was dropping, like his lyrics, like beyond wise, beyond poetic, beyond clever. Like, and his flows were like unbelievable because the way that he was matching the unorthodox rhythm of the beats was like, yo, that's a talent for you to be able to do that. What an XXXTentacion was doing back then, like we're talking about, like after Look at Me, literally like bad music. Let's be real. Let's be like, his music was his lyrics were just like yelling. His lyrics were just kind of like, in my opinion.
You mean before that?
I disagree. I would say before Look at Me, the shit was trash.
No, a little bit
after Look at Me, the shit was like intentionally trash, but it wasn't trash.
This is in between Look at Me and his first album. In between. When I heard his first album, I was blown away. I thought his artistry on his first album was amazing. Second album was amazing. But he was dropping little like loosies that were like kind of like really bad. And like lyrically, stylistically, whatever you want to call it, they were bad. They were not quality. And I think that was just him having fun with it. But Earl Sweatshirt has always been beyond lyrical. Like Earl Sweatshirt is a major lyrical guy. So I don't think he's ever been like trash, in my opinion. But the music he makes sounds like trash to me.
I think that was the point. I think that's the point Bender is making, right? Like it's not trash, but it sounds like trash. But if you're somebody who's listening, you can decipher. If you're somebody who understands music, you can decipher what sounds like trash intentionally and what's just trash because it's fucking trash.
Yeah, I mean, and every form of art has had something like that. Like if you look at Picasso, right? A lot of people thought Picasso's stuff, what the hell are you doing? Like you're just drawing all kinds of random stuff. They're like, yo, no, Picasso actually, there was like a reason he was doing it. It may look like trash to somebody else, but Picasso's one of the greatest painters. And he was putting stuff that wasn't like visually pleasing. Same thing with movies. Some people's favorite movies, like, Napoleon Dynamite. I still don't get that movie still to this day. But that is like people's favorite movie because it was just the way it was done.
Hell yeah.
That's funny. That's funny, man. Hey man, we could probably have this fucking conversation all day. Let's go.
True. Yeah, I'll stop. Let me stop.
No. Go ahead. You had a point, man. Go for it.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to say, like, the other avenue other than, like, trying to make it intentionally sound bad would be intentionally leaving it raw. And I think there's something to be said about music that's left intentionally raw, because I think that there's something, at least in my brain, that, like, I don't know. Y'all know the band Cage the Elephant? You heard of them?
I've heard of it.
Yeah. I never heard of them.
It's whatever. They got a couple, like, radio, whatever. But, like, that was, like, the first concert I ever went to. I was, like, 12 years old. That was, like, my favorite fucking band. But, and then, I as they made more albums, I stopped listening because what drew me to them in the first place was, like, their old shit would just be there just, like, fucking, like, strumming the fuck out of some guitar with, like, hella distortion. Dude's, like, he's, like, scream singing. It's not, like, it wasn't, like, heavy metal. It was just, like, it had like grunge elements in it. It has like alternative elements in it. Like I was fucking raised listening to Nirvana, bro. And like a lot of the shit that Kurt Cobain was singing is like fucking like really, like he's either like singing like slightly out of key or like the guitar is like not tuned when they're recording. And it's like that like rawness, I think it does something for me. For some people, it does, nothing.
Music should be heard and felt.
It should be felt first, though, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because, like, what you're hearing, if you're not feeling it properly, you can misinterpret what the fuck you're hearing.
You can
feel what I'm saying? Like, that's why me personally, like, bro, I'm a fan of guitar. Any motherfucker who can play a guitar. Bro, do you know, I'm looking right now into what guitar I should buy because I love guitars so much on production that I want to actually learn how to play a fucking guitar. Like,
I wish I could share my screen with y'all, will it play my audio from the screen?
It probably would, but I'm not sure. We haven't tried that yet, man.
Cause I wrote a song with guitar the other day. I could like show y'all.
Oh damn.
Hey. You want to try it out, Q? What you want to do, man?
Let's do it. Let's try it out.
Let's see what it work.
Let's see what happens. All right, bet. So I'm gonna show y'all this song.
All right.
Let's hear it, man.
It's a working title, so don't pay attention to that.
Hey, turn that up just a little bit. Just a little bit.
Does that work or no?
So if I no, it's good. It's good. It's good. Myself again.
I don't think I'd be the same.
Today I think you'd like. I didn't mean to bother, I just thought it would be nice. I hope you like it, but anyways, what's poppin', how's your life? I'd love to pop a bottle if you ever got the time. I don't need anything, but everything has not been feeling right. The conversations, who's the latest one to keep me up at night? flip through the pages. I'm a product of the time. Don't call me crazy, you just lucky that I'm still sitting in line.
I think you know just
what they would say if you say you fuck with me. Let's say that I'm not dropping heat, then what would it be? Would it all change if you saw me on the TV or vacaying in Tel Aviv? Shit, I just might be. The money means nothing to me. I just fell in love with the beat, but nothing is free. So I gotta market so then I can eat. Don't know how to act. Bando been smoking on thrax, huffing the fumes from the gas. Fuck do you mean? They will not see you with me. You are not part of the pack, and that is a fact. I do not act with a gap, but homie who do may react. I hope it's okay. I don't hear a thing that you say. I don't have the time for all that.
I like it. Yeah. I like this shit.
It's crazy how many different styles.
I like this shit.
I was really trying to showcase my versatility on this track.
Bro, he sounds about like five different people, honestly.
That's what I'm saying.
Or five different people.
So if you think you wanna reach your hand into my pocket, just take the shit and leave. I know my antics are obnoxious.
Nah, this shit fire. Really this, if I had a fucking lighter right now, I would flip it.
Pray to God, but I'm still looking for
matter of fact, hold on.
In the science, you should try, and I'm amazed that no one has complained. I know you think I'm faking, girl. I think you have a case. I feel it strange.
This is the best part.
Cause things have never been the same since you cocked it back in vain on my motherfucking brain. She give me brain while I drop. I'm on a whole nother vibe. I feel the tension is building. We just hit 75. As long as we still arrive, I'm fine with wasting some time. Nothing but trouble can come from what happens deep in the night. And she don't wanna see me winning, she just wanna see me later. Heard you calling from a distance, I'ma call you over later. Feel like God is so sadistic, I can barely tell the difference when I'm drunk or when I'm sober. I am never getting closer.
Hey! Okay! Hey.
Nah, I fuck with this shit. This shit heavy. I like this a lot. Man. Yo, this shit. Hey, this shit long as fuck. How long has it been?
It's a cool like 5.5 minutes
back. Yeah, this, I'm like, this shit long as fuck. Hey.
This is like an album. That's like the joint you cool.
It's gonna be the intro to an album, for sure.
It's gonna be the intro? Oh, you say yeah? Oh yeah.
Oh, bro, that gotta be the outro.
That's what I said. Outro.
They either gotta be the outro or an interlude, one of the two.
Hell yeah! You know what?
It gotta be one or the other.
It's gonna be a standalone track, like in its own, definitely.
Yeah.
That's dope.
What's the name of that joint again?
The working title is just loneliness, but that's kind of corny, so I kind of want to change it. What did you say, Q?
Unless you spell it differently like you did there, like, unless you find a way to make it, like, maybe you capitalize, like a L or something on there, like, the yeah. In the middle, like, you do true. Something weird with the title, then it might look tight.
Yeah, I'll figure it out. I mean, it's a long way from being out, like, I hold on to my shit. Pardon me. I hold on to my shit like fucking forever before I release it.
Nah, that was fire, man. Honestly, like, yeah, man, your sound is very, very, it's just refreshing. I'll put it like that. It's refreshing.
I appreciate it.
You know what I mean? Like, it's it's like one of those you have one of those styles that like you kind of have to feel. You have to. If you don't feel it, then you're just not a fan of what you're hearing. But like, you know, it's very. I think you get into a lot of subjects that people would be very surprised that you're getting into. But you do it in a creative way. I'll say that.
Well, you can. I'm not like coming at you, but like what subjects?
Like you were just talking about, like earlier, the fact that you have a song called Blue Pill. I never even heard the song yet, but I'm just saying, the way you attack the stuff you talk about is from like a different perspective, right? So like most people will just talk about, like for example, loneliness in the most like generic way possible.
You know,
but like the way you're attacking the subject is like from just a different angle.
I appreciate that. I was just unclear like about what you meant, but like that's exactly what I try to do. Like with that song, like sure I can make a song. Like, okay, Tyler the Creator, he did that song like Mr. Lonely 911 or 911. That song is super hard, but he comes at it like really. The way that he comes at it is like super. It's from his own perspective. You know what I mean? Like, he's not saying like X made a song called like X would make a song and be like, I'm so lonely, I'm so sad, like I wish that time never passed or some like shit like that. He would do it fine, but it wouldn't be like super. It wouldn't make you feel like you know X. When Tyler makes a song, you feel like that's my homie and he's telling me his problem. Mm-hmm. And so like I just try to. Like for me, so when I think of the idea of loneliness, right, what can I draw from? What experiences can I bring to the table that maybe someone could relate to that I've experienced in my past?
Yeah. I mean, that's and to me, that's the, in this day and age, to be able to be relatable is key. And to be relatable is not like what Uch said, it's not generic. Like you just saying, oh, I love you, blah, 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 or I'm hard. Yeah. It's finding ways to say it in a unique way. That's how you become relatable. So, yeah, I agree with that.
Six yes, sir. More. Yes, sir, man. Hey, keep doing that shit, man. Hey, whenever you want to drop that song, man, we here for that. That shit is flames. That's flames.
Appreciate you, bro.
Bro, I'm about to, this is going to be a regular part of the show, bro. Like,
do not burn your house down.
The I got to bring it. Yes, sir, man.
Imagine, tell them if I burn your house down. It's burn good. My house down listening to Uncle Bender's joint. Loneliness. Sure.
You know what? That's definitely not what I would expect when someone said I burned the house down. What was that shit called, bro? Was that shit flames? Yeah, it was called loneliness. It was sad as fuck.
Yeah, man. Hey, we appreciate you for joining the show, man. Honestly.
Yes, sir.
Hey, anytime you want to pull up, hey, I'm telling you, man. For real, you got it, man. You got the invite.
Bro,
don't even trip. For real.
I love this shit.
Don't trip.
Hey man, appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hey, Q. You kind of look like Kid Cudi. That's been on my mind. Before I left, you know.
See, you're not the first person that said that, man. Let me just put it that way. Not the first. So my ex told me, she was like, "Yo, I literally thought that was you on day and night." Like I was like, "How did you?" She said, "How did you get in that video?" Like that's you. Like there was an angle that he did. You look like Kid Cudi. Like exactly. Like that.
That's funny.
But that's also my favorite artist, like, ever, so.
Damn.
Kid Cudi is dope, man. That's why I don't feel bad about it. I just be like, oh, okay, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, and when people tell me I look like Rondo or Spike Lee, I'm like, damn, you know what I'm saying? Those are two greats. They're great at what they do. Hey, man, fuck it.
They used to try to call me Justin Bieber when I was a young boy, and I was just...
Justin Bieber?
Yo, you kind of do look like the Biebs, man. Nah, you know who he looked like? You know what? I'm gonna give you props.
Give me, yes.
He looks like you. The Kid Laroi looks like you.
The Kid Laroi?
He Kid looks like you.
No.
He does. Go look, right. Go pull up a picture.
How do y'all feel about him?
I love
the Kid Laroi. Honestly, the Kid Laroi is fire. He's fire.
He kind of came out of nowhere though, huh?
Nowhere. I don't know. I didn't hear about him. I was surprised to hear he was from Australia, but
isn't he like he rolled with like Juice WRLD and shit, like that record label?
Yeah. That's how I knew about him, because he's kind of supposed to be his successor. Juice WRLD's successor, kind of.
Yeah, so I feel like they just are, I don't like that aspect, but
yeah.
His music's pretty cool. I just don't like the idea of someone dying and then them trying to push someone like, oh, here, here's this. This is
next person.
Let's,
yeah.
Of him.
That's
I will say he was around. He was around for like at least a year or two before Juice WRLD passed. I mean, not that I wasn't on his music. I didn't know anything
because they weren't pushing him.
Exactly. Yeah, well, exactly. But like, I just found out about him probably about a year ago.
Yeah.
First song I heard was Addison Rae, which, listen, I don't know about y'all. I'm not a fan of, you know what? Bless Addison Rae. I don't want to talk shit about her. God bless her soul. She's not my type. But hey, you know, listen, that's his type. He's a fire artist though. I fuck with him though, in general. I fuck with him.
Yeah, it's funny because he actually exceeded expectations for me. Like,
yeah.
Based off of what I was hearing about him, I was like, there's no way this kid's like as good as people think. And then like when I heard his first album, that's a fantastic debut album.
It is fire.
That joint is fantastic.
It's fire. I mean, like, that's all front.
No lie, no hype. I don't save people's like songs or albums, like unless I really, really like it. I've saved probably like 5-6 songs by him, man. Like he's
I'll say something before we get up out of here. I'll be honest because and I don't know if you get this or not, but the fact that you're white in a hip hop game, has that ever crossed your mind? Or do you ever come across people who don't respect your music? You know what I'm saying? Like, does that ever come across your mind? Cause I feel like that's what people were doing to Kid Laroi
until
I put his music on and I'm like, okay, this shit is like undeniably fire. I gotta give it up.
I think like, no one ever said that to Mac Miller. Right?
Yeah.
Because he was, regardless of what the music that he was making was, it was undeniably his music. Like, no one else was doing that, right? Mm-hmm. So, I think the issue really comes into play when it's like somebody... There are plenty of kids like who have like SoundClouds, like white kids like from like my town who have like SoundClouds and shit, and they just go on and make like the same like generic SoundCloud rap, and it's kind of just like a joke or whatever. Like it's not like it's like I don't want to say it's like I don't know. Like if you're
they're not really pushing the boundary. They're not really like adding any. They're not adding like their own like, flair to it, right?
You can't. It's like at that point, it's like then like the argument of like appropriation and all that comes in. Like when it's just literally just a blatant ripoff of someone else's shit. But I feel like when you come in with your own angle and you do it tastefully and you just like, number one, are just true to like yourself and like you make the music that exists within your head.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really all you can ask of someone. But as far as anyone like coming at me for that shit, like I'm sure maybe like, a couple of times someone has said something like in like seriousness, but like my homies fuck with me. Like I was on my video shoot, my homie Jamel, he was calling me like he posted on his story, he was like behind the scenes at the Jack Harlow fucking video shoot. But that's just shit that like with your homies. So like that's really the extent of my like what I deal with. I mean, I'm sure later down the line as I gain traction,
yeah,
obviously get more critics, but I'm not too worried about it because I know who I am and I know that I'm giving people what I am like in the most like honest way. So I mean, if people don't like that, then they don't like me, and if you don't like me, then I really don't care if you listen to my music.
And honestly, I want to say this, Q, before you jump in, I respect that. Honestly, I respect that. And my question is not me saying like people should come at you. That's not what I'm saying.
I know, bro.
I want to make that very clear because, like, even the fact that we have you on the show and the fact that we fuck with your music, listen, man, we're about this life, this music shit. So, like, we see past the gimmicks. We see past the bullshit. So, like, what I hear personally is somebody who's authentic in in the type of music they make. So
I was going to say, like,
I'm not tripping on that at all.
I was gonna say music in this day and age, music is all about authenticity. If like if you're authentic, then people like you, like regardless. Like Drake, for instance, Drake came out, he said I'm a heartbroken dude. like I'm a cheesy guy when it comes to love. Like it came from an authentic place, so people accepted it. And then number two, you know, at the end of the day, like I've learned to not call people hip hop as much. Like Mac Miller to me, as much as Mac Miller is a hell of a rapper. Like Mac Miller is somebody that, you know, can go bar for bar with anybody. But to me, he makes just good music.
Like, he was a musician. He was a bro. He was doing jazz. Exactly. He was doing the blues.
Exactly. Like to like,
R&B. He was doing all types of shit.
People want to put everyone in like a box, right? Like they want to call him a hip hop artist. He made a hip hop album. He's made hip hop albums. But if you listen to like Swimming or whatever, Circles, like that's a pop album, bro. Like that's an R&B album. Like it's not.
It takes elements. Nowadays, hip hop music, what people call hip hop music, takes elements of everything. It takes elements of pop, R&B, rap. It takes elements of country. It takes elements of alternative music. Like if you listen to the Kid Laroi is actually closer to like alternative pop with like trap vibes.
Yeah, trap is like very quickly become like pop music in America, right? Yeah. Like so, hey, obviously you can't fault people for drawing from.
There you go. Yeah,
you can't like tell people that they can't draw inspiration from arguably the largest genre of arguably the largest genre of fucking music. Like, bro, everybody, like, I don't know what started it. I don't know who started it, but like, you hear Atlanta in like almost every hit song. Like, yes. You hear aspects, you hear the 808s, you hear the fucking pitched up hi-hats. Like, bro,
you hear it in commercials. I've heard cell phone
fucking Reese's commercials.
Bro, that shit's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
It's fucking everywhere. And the fact that you just said something that sparked something else, man. Should we do a part two of this, or should we just keep going? Like, honestly,
we could run a part two, bro.
Bro, what the fuck?
Like, short attention spans. Make it like a week later or something. And then, hey, part two. I'll show Blue Pill.
Oh yeah, that's true. That's true. It's coming up.
That's a good. You know what? We should do that, man. Hey, listen. You're like I said. You were the first guest on the show, the first real guest. So we
are my first podcast.
We show you still major my props.
Podcast.
I'll take that for what it is. But like even what you were saying, man, like
that also means you're the best podcast.
Hey.
And the worst podcast.
We'll take
and the most mediocre one too. Throw it all in there. While you at it?
Definitely the most ill-advised.
There you go. But like even what you were saying, right? Like the fact that trap is pop. I've been telling Q on this fucking podcast for about 2 years now that hip hop is fucking pop music. I'm tired of the word pop and what that shit has meant for so long, right? I get it. I understand what pop means. I understand what it meant originally, popular. You know what I'm saying? But like the fact that hip hop is the most popular genre, popular as in the most consumed. Why is it that we're not calling hip-hop pop? And then, you know what? That's fine. If we don't want to call hip-hop pop, I need people to start acknowledging hip-hop as the most popular genre like it is and like it has been for like the last year and a half, man. So
how can you not recognize it, bro? Look at
it. It's nuts.
A fact. It's a fact. You can't deny the fact.
It's literally a fact. It's literally a fact.
People want to always fucking talk about facts and shit, but then when it comes to shit they don't agree with, they're like, well, no, it can't be the most popular. Rock and roll albums are on a different metric. Like, no, shut the fuck up. No one's listening to rock and roll music. As sad as that is, I'm not listening to anything that was made before fucking 1998.
Yeah.
That's real shit, though. Hey, no. And that's facts. Nobody's fucking listening to the old shit. Listen, the whole fucking, the sound wave, the sonics of music, everything that has been produced over the last fucking 15 years, I would argue is heavily dominated and influenced by hip hop music, specifically the South. Specifically the South. Let's be real.
I want to let y'all talk for a second or like finish what you're about to say, but then I want to talk about I have something I want to talk about after that. But yeah, go.
No, I mean I'm just saying, and Q, you can jump in here after this, but I'm just saying, like, you know, it's funny how we always talk about you know, New York City not we, but like people always talk about New York City as like the mecca of hip hop. And I understand, listen, I pay respects to all the greats, the origins of the actual genre itself. And I don't want to disrespect or like take away from any of that, because they deserve that, right? 70s, 80s, that's where the shit came from. I'm not going to take away from that. However, if you really want to have a real conversation, which most people don't want to have, I would say in the 90s, of course, the early 2000s, going into the 2010s, we're in 2020 right now, I would make a legitimate argument that because hip hop has been so dominant globally, it has had more of an impact in the last 20 years than it did in the 90s. When people keep talking about Pac and Big and all these people, which again, I'm not disrespecting them at all, but I'm just saying, I don't think people give enough credit of the last 20 years in hip hop, specifically Atlanta, specifically just the South in general and their influence on music.
And there's a lot of things that we, like in the industry, I don't want to say we in the industry, but like industry people, like talk about it. Let me fucking restart. Why are we just realizing this? Right? Like, think about it. Really think about this shit. You have, just to relate to something that's popular somewhat recently, like NWA, like the movie about that shit, right? It's like that shit, like that whole movement and that whole shit is like, was so big back then, like huge, but we don't really, no one really thinks about the shit, like hip hop becoming pop until about like what, 3 or 4, 5 years ago is when it like apparently like really started, but it had been way before, like, bro, like,
yeah,
I want to say like the 2000s, like that's really like, it was the beginning of like the shift, I think. Like
you couldn't deny it.
Right. And it's crazy, I was born in 2000.
Ish.
Hold on,
what do they call y'all? You know how they call people who's born in the 90s, you know what I'm saying? Or 80s, they'll call them 80s babies, 90s, 90s babies. What do they call y'all, man?
Shitheads.
Hey, you said it. You said it. I didn't say that.
I don't know, like Gen X or Gen Z or stupid like
they're that. They're like Gen Z, Gen X or something like that. We're millennials.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, Q, you were about to say something though.
I was going to say, like around 2000, people were selling records, like, you know, Nelly, like you said, Nelly went diamond. Like, people like Kanye was out there doing well. Like Jay-Z, like a lot of heavy hitters came from hip hop. Mm-hmm. Master P, even Master P's No Limit was the most Southern music. They were going like 5 times, 6 times platinum. Like
Ludacris and shit.
Ludacris, like, you know, the thing is, when you know a genre is popular, when you can just have random people get popular. Like, you can just have random people that had barely even have equipment studio, right? Like, we talked about people that are making lo-fi music that are selling records. You're talking about people that are just yelling on beats that are selling records. Like, that's how popular hip-hop is at this point.
Because it's so saturated.
If you have, it's so saturated. If you have any type of, like, hip-hop element, you got a shot. You know, so that's just what it is.
And moving off of that, it's like, because of the fact that hip hop wasn't really recognized until like, really, like, I want to say like starting like the 2010s, right, is when like I feel like it kind of started to pick up a lot, because you have more like, oh, it's like, you know, the classic people, like you got like Soulja Boy, just like all that good, like nostalgic stuff from the past, right? And that's like the first I heard about Lil Wayne in like elementary school. I first heard about, and I was never even listening to any of this. I just like was aware of it, because when I was young, like my dad's from fucking like Florida. My mom's from New Jersey, and her dad was like a R&B guy or whatever. So like they're all like, my mom was like, grew up on rock and roll, just being from the South. Like she eventually moved to Georgia, being from the South. My dad has always been a fan of music. Like he put me onto like Nirvana and all that shit. But I was only really listening to like rock and roll music, just because like that's all my parents had ever really listened to. And it wasn't really until I was able to, like, you know, like, once, like, you, like, get, like, a phone or get, like, the internet or a computer or whatever, then you, like, Because it was just like, in my mind, I was always like, I just listen. I'm just going to listen to this music. Because, like, you know, I'm white. It's not a fucking secret that, like, that, like, rock and roll and white people are, like, it's, like, a thing, right? So, like, that's, like, because my, like my family at home, like, you know, like, that's just what I grew up listening to. But then I started to, like, and really, like, when I got into middle school, it was, like, I started, I learned how to skateboard, and then there was a bunch of kids who skated in my middle school, and it was just like, oh, like I was the only white kid in that group. So like that, those years for me, like that's when people started to put me onto that shit. Like they're like, yo, listen to this. I started listening to like Gucci Mane, like ASAP Rocky, and like Kendrick, like the first like people I started listening to, like Isaiah Rashad and shit. You get into the lyrical shit. Mm. And then I'm like, you know, I'm still listening to rock like equally then. As we move through middle school, I'm slowly shifting less and less. I'd find Kanye. I find Future. When I found Future, bro, it was over with. Like, I never wanted to listen to rock and roll in my whole life. I got my first, and I was on Future late as fuck. I'm not even gonna lie, because like when like Move That Dope and shit was coming out, like I wasn't on his shit.
But he wasn't as tight.
DS2. When fucking DS2 came out, I was 16. It came out like a year or two before, but I was 16 and I was. My like auxiliary cord was fucked up in my car and I wanted to listen to CDs. I went to Best Buy and I got Good Kid, Mad City. I got DS2. I got like a Sublime album. And then I think I got like a Bob Marley album, but Good Kid and Mad City, Good Kid, Mad City and DS2 were just like on fucking repeat. Every time I went to my car, I can like Good Kid, Mad City. I think that's the greatest album of all time.
I was going to say,
that's crazy.
Good Kid, Mad City is probably one of the top five hip hop albums of all time.
Bro, that shit think about the contrast, right? Because you have Kendrick that I'm listening to, and then I'm listening to fucking Future, which is like Atlanta shit, right? Like, so I was discovering the lyrical side of hip hop, and the right. like the cultural, like the more like locally cultural yeah. like side of hip hop. So and then from there, I just went for everything in between, and then I found like. Ty Dolla Sign, one of my favorite artists.
Yeah.
There you go.
When I found Cuddy, bro, that was another.
Cuddy's
a fucking. I don't, man, listen, there's certain dudes who I actually feel like they're just not even on the same level. Like, we shouldn't even be speaking about them. We shouldn't even be speaking about them on the same. It's like, I don't want to say his name in vain. I know that sounds ridiculous, but it's like. Bro, like, we should be elevating him on so many different levels. Cuddy is a genius.
He's a genius. And nobody realizes it.
No. People do now. But they don't give him his props, though.
I was going to say, single-handedly, the most important hip-hop figure, in my opinion, in the last 20 years.
Like, facts.
Every single young artist that is out right now has some element of Kid Cudi. Kid Cudi bridged the gap.
Drake.
Early
Kanye,
Travis Scott.
Yeah.
Scott. Big time Travis Scott.
I would even say there's elements of ASAP Rocky.
Of course.
I hear kids.
Yeah. Reese the Flair did that song Unkillable.
Bro, yeah. It's everybody, man. Yeah.
But you know what I was going to say, just to kind of give my last take on it. We got to pay homage to rock and roll too. Like, because what hip hop has also incorporated a lot of rock into their music also. Like, if you look at Juice WRLD's album, his last album, Juice WRLD, like, those are rock vibes you're hearing. Those aren't like...
What's the most popular instrument in trap music today? Listen to Gunna, listen to Lil Baby.
Exactly.
The fucking, they're just putting that.
Bro, it's the fucking guitar, man. Like, you hear I keep talking about the damn guitars and music. That shit is so crazy. It's like...
Yeah.
It's literally taken over fucking production. It's taken over music.
Rappers
for a while. Trap music.
Like, rappers want to be rock stars also. So it's exactly. like I love how they're meshing. Like as of late, like they're meshing really well to the point where it's like in unison. So,
because what did think Zaytoven, right? What was that? What was the main instrument back in like the early like Gucci Mane like Zaytoven like days? That organ, like that piano, like that like real like melodic piano.
Yeah, Zaytoven is heavy with the piano.
Exactly.
That's his shit.
And everybody did that. Everyone tried to emulate him. And like piano in like trap music like Southern trap music, like that shit is so, so common if you look like early shit. So now right. I feel like guitar is kind of like not replacing it, but like guitar has definitely become one of those instruments that's like for a sure. staple for certain musicians. Like,
oh man,
you can't hear a Gunna song without a fucking guitar like under on anymore.
That shit sounds majestic. Gunna sounds majestic over a guitar.
And then when you add the flute,
Drake.
Whoa!
Oh man, hey, this has been fucking fun, man. Hey, Uncle Bender, thank you so much for pulling up, man. For real, thank you. Yeah.
Anytime.
Great conversation.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Like I said, man, you're welcome anytime, man. We're gonna be looking out for that new single, Blue Pill. What the fuck is that? Blue Pill. And also when you drop in that other joint, let us know, man. Let us know.
That'll be a while, but I mean, y'all be the first to know.
Yes, sir. Appreciate
word,
it.
Word. Yeah. Hey, man, listen, y'all need to go follow this man. Listen to his new song that he's dropping on, I think he said the 25th, right? Am I wrong? The 25th of September. Blue Pill, check that out. Wise Gang, we are fucking out.
Yes, sir.
Hider Flicks for the culture.
What about this? Like, what if I got a pen just like doing like this? How about this?
Hey,
close enough.
Yeah, that works too. That works.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.